Un saludo al misionero Miguel Bermúdez Marín y todos los ministros.
Greetings to missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín and all the ministers, brothers and sisters gathered in the church La Voz de los Dos Olivos, the church that Reverend Angelo Salas pastors there in Santa Cruz, Bolivia, and all the ministers, brothers, sisters, who are also connected through the satellite Amazonas or internet today, Friday, November 3rd of this year, 2023. For this occasion, we searched in the Gospel according to Luke chapter 7, verse 11, which is the scripture our brother William used in this subject that we will be seeing and listening to, the presence of Jesus. It was preached on December 6th of 2013 in Cayey, Puerto Rico. And it tells us, Luke chapter 7, verse 11 says, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into the city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion of her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth through all Judea and throughout all the region around about, and he rides to the side there, prophet. The presence of Jesus, that is the subject that we will be listening and seeing on this occasion, preached by Dr. William Soto Santiago on December 6th of 2013 here in Puerto Rico. You may please be seated. He tells us in the message, Breaking Barriers, Part 3, which was preached on November 30th of 1996 in Cristianapolis, Brazil, and he tells us, now, Christ comes crying out with a great voice. It is a great voice of trumpet. It is the voice of Christ with the message of the gospel of the kingdom crying out. And it tells us that he cries as when a lion roars and seven thunders utter their voices. Now, why does he cry as when a lion roars? Because he doesn't come as lamb, but he comes as a lion. As lamb, he had to be bleeding, not a cry like a lion. In the message, Warning, Then the Judgment, on page 40 of the book in Spanish, Reverend William Branham tells us, don't you love him? Think of what we are. Look how far up the road we are, friends. Just look back down at the road from way down yonder in the days of Luther and Wesley on down through the ages. Look here where we are, right here at the top of the pyramid. And there he draws a cornerstone, right here where God has proved it. The Bible, through the seven seals, has perfectly been revealed, waiting only now for them seven mysteries. And there he writes, the seven thunders, right at last, at the coming of the Lord and the rapture of the church that might happen before the morning. And there he writes, the thunders in the coming of the Lord. And by the side, he also writes, the road of the king. And there at the end as well, before the millennium, day of the millennial kingdom in the dispensation of the kingdom. And there,
página
del frente,
on the front page, he writes there, the rapture equals before the morning of the millennium. At the top he writes, of the morning of the millennium. And there at the bottom he writes, those who are in sin and unbelief will not make it. And Brother William continues saying, now seven thunders utter their voices, the coming of Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, crying as when a lion roars, that is, crying out with the message of the gospel of the kingdom, represented in the great voice of trumpet, notice, produces seven thunders. When he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. It is like when an airplane breaks the sound barrier, and you then hear explosions, you hear thunders, a barrier has been broken, the sound barrier. And now here, with the coming of Christ as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, we find that the barrier of reasoning, our reason and other barriers are broken. There we have that consecutive explosion seven times, seven thunders uttering their voices, with the coming of Christ crying as when a lion roars, because all the barriers that have to be broken are being broken. There is a writing of the scripture of Matthew 14, verse 14 to 21, of that scripture that they placed in a Bible study, and there he says, Matthew 14, verse 14 to 21, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed there. Let's see here. I am reading from the study, but let's turn to, it seems to be missing something, a part there. Matthew 14, verse 14. It says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages, and they buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but five loaves and two fishes. And he writes there, today the hidden manna, the seven thunders, and the seventh seal. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat, and were filled, and they took up all the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full, and they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. There, see how he represents those five loaves and two fishes in the hidden manna, in the seven thunders, and the seventh seal. And he continues saying, further on in this message, we can now see how the Archangel Gabriel was present on earth, making known those good tidings to certain people who were chosen by God to receive that revelation from heaven. Notice, Gabriel, as Reverend William Branham tells us, announced the first coming of Christ. And he says, the Archangel Gabriel will announce the second coming of Christ. And Gabriel there, it says that he was present on earth. He was giving the good tidings of the first coming of the Lord there. And he was present in this end time giving the good tidings to those people who were chosen by God to receive that revelation and thus obtain the knowledge of what he would be forerunning. And he continues to say, the birth of the first coming of the Messiah, that is, that was the revelation from heaven that Gabriel brought, the birth of the first coming of the Messiah. However, this revelation was not given to the high priest nor to the Sanhedrin council. It was not given to the doctors of divinity. It was not given to the theologians of that time, but to simple people. In the message, who is this? On page 9, it tells us, in paragraph 49, it says, and it isn't changed any today because the Holy Spirit is forerunning the coming of the Lord Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit begins to stretch out across the earth, revival fires are broken out everywhere. Great signs and wonders have been done. Healings has took place, prophecies has went forth, all the gatherings of the apostolic blessings was came back to the church again. So as it was then, so it is now. The spirit of the unbeliever cries out, who is this? Notice where it says the Holy Spirit is forerunning the coming of the Lord Jesus. He writes there, the Holy Spirit, that is HS, forerunning the coming, and the Holy Spirit is the Archangel Gabriel, and that Archangel there announced the first coming of the Lord, and he will announce, it says, the second coming, which he already fulfilled. Now, it is always the Holy Spirit in the midst of his church from age to age, and notice how that Holy Spirit was manifested in portions in each messenger. Later on, he came manifested in this end time, bringing us those good tidings. But Brother Branham says that when this Holy Spirit that we have, see, there it was in Brother Branham. But he says, when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes what? Incarnate. And that is the big difference. In what? In the person of Jesus Christ. That is, in the second coming of the Lord. Then we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, our brother William continues saying, Christ said in his ministry, Lord, God of heaven and earth, Father, I praise you, for you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them to babes. What things were hidden from the wise and the prudent? The first coming of the Messiah. And those simple men who believed in Jesus Christ were seeing, understanding that in Jesus, the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the King of Israel was being fulfilled, which had been long promised in the scripture, and which was spoken of in the midst of the Hebrew people, and the hope of the Hebrew people was in the coming of the Messiah, and still is in the coming of the Messiah. In the message, who do you say this is? Reverend William Branham tells us on page 7, and 8 tells us on page 7, he says, let's see here.
Sí.
Now, that's what was done back in them days. They'd been praying. They'd had all kinds of great leaders. They'd been under governments. They'd been under kingship. They'd been under everything, judges. But they knew that there's only one thing that could save them. That was the coming of the Messiah. And the Messiah means the Anointed One, a human being that was anointed. Then, the human being anointed with the Word made flesh among us. And when He come, He wasn't just exactly in the taste that they wanted Him, not the taste that they had, that He should come in. So therefore, they cried out, "Who is this fellow? What's all this racket about?" A bunch of peasants down there at the gate breaking off palms, and he said, "Why, make them hold their peace. They make us nervous the way they scream and holler and carry on." He said, "If they hold their peace, these rocks will immediately cry out." Oh, time was unfolding. The prophecy was being fulfilled. No wonder. The lion roared. And who will not fear? And God has spoken. Who cannot keep from prophesying? No. If He wasn't just in our own taste, if He wasn't just in the way we wanted Him, the way that we thought He should come, we wouldn't receive Him. Then, it was their creeds that got them so far off from the written word. They were so far off, they failed to recognize Him, who they had prayed for to come. Their churches had got them so far away till the very thing that they had prayed for was right there with them, and it wasn't in their taste. And so they couldn't believe it. They had to get away from it. They outed it. There's only one thing you can do when you meet Christ, that's either accept Him or reject Him. You can never walk away mutual. You cannot do that. It's like some people who say, "I'd rather stay in the middle and I won't go one way or the other." That is to say, he's one of those who is on both sides. But he says, you can't do that. You either accept Him or reject Him. You cannot do that. It's not for you to do it. It's just that way. Our brother William goes on to say, currently, people who travel to Israel find that they are waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And they say they are expecting a prophet, because the Messiah will be a prophet. Now, to some people that sounds a little strange, but the promise is that the Messiah will be a prophet. That is in the Book of the Seals. On page 450 and 451 in the Book of Spanish, he's speaking with a rabbi, and he says, at the bottom of 450, I said, who was Isaiah in 9:6 speaking of? I'm turning to 451, and he said, the Messiah. I said, then the Messiah will be a man prophet, is that right? He said, yes, sir, that's right. And above he writes, the Messiah will be a man prophet. I said, show me where Jesus missed it. He said, I said, what relation will Messiah prophet be to God? He said, he will be God. I said, that's right. Now you got it on the head. So help me, that Jew standing there and the tears rolling off his cheeks. I said, I'll hear you sometime later. And he writes there, the rabbi crying. Now notice how they are waiting for the coming of the Messiah to be in a man, in a prophet. Our brother William continues saying, the first coming of Christ was the coming of the angel of the covenant, the angel of the Lord manifested in human flesh according to the divine program in the person of Jesus of Nazareth. This young carpenter who was born in Bethlehem of Judea and was raised in Nazareth in a construction man, or a young construction man, or a construction worker, a carpenter, the first coming of the Messiah was fulfilled. What a surprise for the Hebrew people. It was such a great surprise that they could not believe that such a great promise would be fulfilled in such an insignificant man, such as a carpenter from Nazareth. But it was fulfilled in that construction worker, because the great thing was what was inside that veil of flesh. Now, we can see that there was a process until Jesus Christ came to his ministry when he was almost 30 years old. He had a ministry of 3.5 years, and at the end he died on Calvary's cross, and his death was a sentence because they believed that he was a blasphemer, and he was condemned to death by the high priest and part of the Sanhedrin council and the priests. How back then they told him that he was a blasphemer, that he was an illegitimate son, and many other things. And see, that is the same thing that is repeated at his second coming. And they asked the Roman government to execute that sentence by giving him the maximum penalty, which was death on Calvary's cross. It is like saying in some countries the death penalty in an electric chair. Further on, in that same message, it says, now notice, the first coming of Christ was fulfilled in a young carpenter of Nazareth, in a construction worker. That is not reasonable to the human mind, but it is the divine truth that had been promised to be fulfilled at that time. In the message, the anointed ones, at the end time, on page 65 of the book in Spanish, it tells us, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, the anointed word of the hour, so will these men, not man, men, anointed ones, resist the truth. In the very day that the Son of Man is revealed, Revelation 10:1-7, read it when you get home, the seventh angel's message, opening up the seals. What it is? Not the angel is the Son of Man, but the messenger is revealing the Son of Man. And he writes, the angel, and he writes, the Son of Man revealed. Revealed in his angel. The Son of Man revealed in his angel. The seventh angel's message opening up the seals, what it is? Not the angel is the Son of Man, but the messenger is revealing the Son of Man. Can you get it separated now? That's where it seems to be so hard for you, you see? Not the Son of Man himself, but the seventh angel, the seventh messenger is revealing to the public the Son of Man, because it's left the shock. He can't organize it. It's the grain itself again. And in that day, Jannes and Jambres will withstand, anointed ones, make believers and unbelievers, the church formal and the Pentecostals, stand up against stand up against the true grain, but let them alone. Their folly will be made manifest as theirs was. See, you understand now? And he writes, the false, Jannes and Jambres, equals unbelievers and make-believers. And he also writes, the Pentecostals will be against the bride. And on the front, he writes, referring to that page, he writes, the unbelievers and the make-believers will be against the bride. He continues saying, in the message I am reading from our brother William, no other person was found to fulfill the promises of the first coming of the Messiah. No other person was found to fit the messianic promises promised to be fulfilled in the first part of the 70th week, except Jesus. But it was so simple that they said, this man shall not reign over us. In other words, we don't want this one. We don't like him. Even if he says he is the Messiah, and even if everyone says he is in the precise time of the 70th week, and even though there is no other who does the things that he does, we do not want him. We don't receive him as the promised Messiah. We don't receive him as the King of Israel. But blessed are all those who received him. For blessed are those who received the one sent by God who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed were those who received him in his first coming there, and those who received him during the whole dispensation of grace. And in this end time, blessed are all those who received the fulfillment of the second coming of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, and blessed are those who received him also. For he who receives a prophet in the name of prophet receives the rewards, that is, a prophet's reward. He receives blessings. He receives the blessing of that prophet that he brings from God to the people. That is why Christ blessed his disciples, all those who believed in him. To them, the mystery of the first coming of the Messiah was open. They recognized by revelation from heaven that Jesus, though he was a simple man, a construction worker, was the fulfillment of the first coming of the Messiah. And no one could do those things that he did except Jesus Christ. In the message that we were reading, titled, Who is This?, on page 6, at the bottom, turning to 7, he says, then, as they waited for something to happen, it was too bad that many of those at the Passover never got to see him. Yet, they know that something was going to happen, but yet they didn't get to see him. So will it be in the coming of the Lord. There is so many restless people today that knows that something is fixing to happen, but they'll never see him. For he will come in the stillness of the midnight to catch away that little church that's longing and waiting and expecting to see him. That's the ones he'll come and catch away. Those are the ones who, by receiving him, receive a prophet's reward. That is, they receive the reward of a prophet. Further on, he continues saying, in this same message, they were ministering angels of the word of God to the heirs of salvation, ministering angels made human flesh in the midst of the human beings. They were the seven spirits of God sent throughout the earth, because in them was the Spirit of God in the manifestation pertaining to each age. But that other angel who was different from the rest also had to come to earth for the fulfillment of the seventh seal, veiling himself in human flesh and then revealing himself through human flesh to the children of God in the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The forerunner of the second coming of Christ told us in the Book of the Seals, page 469 of the book in Spanish, that that angel different from the rest was the one who had the seventh seal, that is, he had the second coming of Christ. And let's search for a moment there on that page 469 in the book in Spanish, where it tells us of the book of the seals. And did you notice that one angel I said in there was a strange angel? He looked more to me than any of the rest of them. You remember that? They were in a constellation, three on the side and one on top. And the one right next to me, continuing from left to right, would have been the seventh angel. He was brighter, meant more to me than the rest of them. You remember? I said he had his chest out like that and was flying eastward. You remember? Like that. I said, it picked me up, lift me up. Do you remember that? Here it is, the one with the seventh seal. And he writes, Moses and Elijah have the second coming of Christ. The thing is, I've wondered all my life, and he writes the question there, who is that man in whom the second coming will be fulfilled? In a question mark. Amen. Them other seals meant a lot to me, of course, but, oh, you don't know what this has meant to me. And he writes, the second coming of the Lord. And our brother William continues saying, and he also told us around the page 472 of the Book of the Seals that the seventh seal is the coming of Christ. It will be like the birth of John the Baptist and like the birth of Jesus Christ there in Bethlehem of Judea. In other words, it has to come by means of a birth. The seventh seal has to come by means of a birth. That is on page 472, where it says, in a part here, it is in such a humble way you would think that something like that would be revealed to the Vatican. To the Vatican, he writes, in the Pope, but it comes, he writes, with Moses and Elijah. Just like John the Baptist, it comes like the birth of our Lord in a stable. Glory to God, so help me, the hour is at hand. Amen, we are here, oh my. He continues saying, now, the question is, in what time would the veil of flesh be born where that angel that was very different from the rest would be manifested? When would his birth be according to the flesh, that is, through mom and dad? And then, when would his new birth in the mystical body of Christ, by believing in Jesus Christ and receiving his Holy Spirit be? And then, when would the birth of the ministry that Christ would operate in him be? When would the angel that was very different from the rest begin to operate that ministry? And when will the adoption of that ministry be? And when will be the adoption of that messenger in the kingdom of God be? Because the adoption of a ministry is one thing, and the adoption of a son or daughter of God is another thing. With the adoption of the sons and daughters of God, we will have the new body. But the adoption of a ministry, we find that it is as it was on Mount Transfiguration. There we find Christ being adopted. Notice, there he places that part for us, which was fulfilled at the first coming of the Lord on Mount Transfiguration, when Jesus was being adopted to then carry out the work for which he was sent, for which the first coming of the Lord was fulfilled in him. which was to give his life there on Calvary's cross as the sacrifice for sins. And Moses and Elijah were there talking with him, which is parallel in this end time. The ministries of Moses and Elijah have to be there for the adoption of the sons and daughters of God, and that is also showing there the adoption of that ministry which is in the instrument of this end time. And that same thing which was seen there is the coming of the kingdom of God, and the Son of Man coming in his kingdom with his angels, that is, with the ministries of Moses and Elijah. The ministries of Moses and Elijah must be seen manifested in human flesh in the coming of the Son of Man at the coming of Christ according to the prophecies. On page 42 of the book of quotations, you can see that part there, where in that portion he shows us what happened and the order of the coming of the Son of Man glorified. Paragraph 345, you can read it later from the book of quotations on page 42. And it continues saying, now, will there be a surprise as there was 2,000 years ago? For the religious world of that time, it was a surprise that they did not see the coming of the Messiah fulfilled in the midst of the Hebrew people. But there was a group of people who proclaimed that the coming of the Messiah was already fulfilled, and they had as an instrument in whom the coming of the Messiah was fulfilled for them, a construction worker, a carpenter. Notice, then for a group of people, they already had that instrument. They were already pointing to him as the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah. For the religious world of that time, it was a surprise. It was a surprise that they did not see the coming of the Messiah fulfilled among them. But there was a group of people who did. For them, that promise was already being fulfilled. The religious leaders could say, that's a good leader for a workers' union. But to be the leader of Israel as king, he doesn't have the qualifications. According to them, he didn't have them. But according to the word, he did have them. And we have sort of heard those words. Our brother Miguel has told us about how on several occasions they have said to him, ministers and brethren as well, who have said to him, but he doesn't have the qualifications to be the fulfillment of that promise. Impossible. But see, according to them, he did not have them. It says there, but according to the word, he did have them, and countless other things that they spoke of Jesus there, which we also see so many things being spoken against the fulfillment of what he promised. And more than 99% of those who do that are persons who also believe in that promise, but they do not like the way God is fulfilling it, so they fight against it, and they become to be people who fulfill that other part of the scriptures, as it was in the time of Moses, Jannes and Jambres, and as it was also back then with Korah, Datan, and Abiram. Notice, there are always these three groups when those revivals happen. And even more so, the revival of the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah. According to them, he didn't have them. But according to the word, he did have them. Because The one who was in him was the angel of the Lord, the angel of the covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the fulfillment of his first coming in human flesh, the first coming of the Word in human flesh in all his fullness. In the message, the third Exodus, on page 35 of the book in Spanish, it tells us, but unbelief will catch reason. That's what it did. Now you get it? Unbelief relies on reasons. Present day things. Faith won't do it. He writes, unbelief relies on reasoning. Faith won't do it. Faith looks at the Word, but faith places itself upon the unmovable rock, God's eternal Word. Amen. Faith don't look at reason. I don't care how much you can show it would be better. If the Word says no, faith rests there. That is the sanctuary of faith's resting place. Notice, and he writes, faith's resting place is the Word. Notice, it doesn't matter how many religious leaders may say and may demonstrate that it would be better another way and that it isn't that way. If the Word says, this is the way it is, then the elect with that faith rests on that there. Faith rests in the Word. Now, our brother William continues saying, everything was so simple, and he became to be part of the common people. He came to be part of the daily life of the people. All of this great event of the first coming of Christ, he was one more among the people. For the prophecy said, from among your brethren shall the Lord rise up unto you a prophet like me. Him shall you hear. He had to be one who was in the same environment of the people, who ate as others ate, slept as others slept, and spoke as others spoke. Not one who was going to polish himself to try to come speaking beautifully so that the great religious leaders would say, this is the God's anointed one, this is the God's Messiah. Now we can see that the coming of the Messiah was fulfilled in Jesus, the carpenter of Nazareth. The Pharisees and Sadducees leaders would say, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, the carpenter of Nazareth? Do we not know Joseph and Mary and his brothers as well? Are they not with us here as well? Now, how can he say that he is the Messiah? Notice, and all that is repeated at this time, updated. Back then, they had to receive the fulfillment of what they were waiting for, but it was not for the religious leaders of that time, nor unbelievers, nor different people who would not receive him that way. It was for the elect of God who were waiting, longing for the coming and the fulfillment of that promise. He says, how can he say that he is the Messiah? But he was the Messiah, and he testified that he was the Messiah, showing it with the scripture, with the promises pertaining to that time, because the coming of the Messiah is identified in and by the scripture, and that's why Christ used the scriptures and showed the promises of the first coming of the Messiah and said to them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. He showed that he was the man anointed, the prophet anointed by God for that time, for the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah. And you may say, look, not even Brother Branham did that. Not even our brother William Soto Santiago dared to do that. And he now comes and dares to do those things or speaks those things because the final part of the fulfillment of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels was not being fulfilled in either of them. As simple as that. It had to be spoken through the one where God will be fulfilling that promise in the midst of the people. Now, see how on page, let's see here, in the book of quotations, in paragraph 519 of the page 59, paragraph 519, a brief part here. As soon as his ministry was finished, Messiah showed himself. As soon as this great one will come in the last days, will finish his ministry, the Messiah will show himself. And he writes, when his ministry ends, the Messiah, the Anointed One, appears, he will present himself. As it was in the first coming of the Lord. He continues saying, he testified, and he said that the Father also testified, and it was not only his testimony alone, but also the testimony of the Father and the testimony of the Scripture. That is why he said to them, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. It is the same for the second coming of Christ as well. And he said, if you don't believe in me, believe the works, for it is the works that bear witness that God has sent me. They testified of the works that he was doing, that Jesus was the Messiah, because those works that he was doing were the works that the Scripture said that the Messiah would do at his first coming. And for the second coming of Christ, the works that will be done in the fulfillment of his coming will be given testimony of the fulfillment of the second coming of the Messiah. The Hebrew people are waiting for a prophet, and when that prophet comes, they will say, this is what we were waiting for, a prophet anointed with the Spirit of God, anointed with the Spirit of the Creator of heaven and earth, a man where God is dwelling in Holy Spirit. That is what the Hebrew people are waiting for in the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah, to sit on the throne of David and reign over the Hebrew people, and that is what they are going to receive, which we find on page, let's see here, page 22 of the book of quotations, paragraph 176, where it says, and there's them two witnesses, and when they tormented the church or the world by their preachings and receiving back the Jews and bringing them back to repentance, bringing them back to believe on, when they see Jesus coming for the bride, they'll say, lo, this is our God who we waited on. That's him, but he is not coming for them. He comes for his bride. And below at the end it says, the same thing, those Jews will have that great time of trouble just before the coming now of the persecution, running them back into the homeland. It's shooting them like a bunch of sheep back to Mount Carmel yonder. When the Lord Jesus shall come for his bride, and they see him, they'll say, that's the one we've waited on. There he is. He'll rise with healing in his wings. They are waiting for the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah in a man, in whom the Holy Spirit is dwelling, in him. And that is what they are going to receive. They are not going to receive anything else, nor are they interested in anything else. They are interested in a prophet anointed with the Spirit of God in all his fullness, where they can see the angel of the Lord, the angel of the covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is manifested there. When they see that, they will receive him, and they will see that in the midst of the Gentile church, because the Gentile church will have that blessing at the last day. Where will they see him working and working in this end time? In the midst of the church. The Gentile church, just as she has had Jesus Christ in Holy Spirit in every angel messenger, in the portion pertaining to every age, by Christ being manifested through human flesh in every angel messenger at the last day, she will have the final manifestation through human flesh in his angel messenger, and the angel who was very different from the rest will be there. Remember, angel messenger is a man anointed with the Spirit of God. All the messengers in the ages were angel messengers of God sent to the church of the Lord, each one in the portion pertaining to each age. It goes on to say, that will be the time in which that angel who was very different from the rest will be in human flesh. Now look, he says, he had asked us some questions at the beginning where we read a few minutes ago, and here he says, when that will be fulfilled, he says, let's go further back a little bit, where he speaks to us, by Christ being manifested through human flesh in every angel messenger at the last day, she will have the final manifestation through human flesh in his angel messenger, and the angel who was very different from the rest will be there. That will be the time in which that angel who was very different from the rest will be in human flesh, and that will bring the great divine blessings for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to produce the faith to be transformed and raptured at the last day, and for the dead in Christ to be resurrected. What will bring the great divine blessings to the church of the Lord in this end time, to thus produce the faith to be transformed and raptured, and for the dead to be resurrected? The manifestation in human flesh of that angel who was different from the rest. That manifestation of that angel in human flesh in the midst of the church is what is going to bring those great divine blessings. Therefore, that instrument where that angel who was different from the rest has become flesh must be in the midst of the church. He continues saying, now, the veil of flesh will be simple. The veil of flesh is always the humble or simple part of the divine program. That is where people always stumble, because that is the part of simplicity. You see, the first coming of Christ in a young carpenter of Nazareth, a construction worker, that was the veil of flesh regarding his trade or profession, but regarding what was within him, he was the creator of heavens and earth. In the message, Who is This? On page 10, he also tells us there, paragraph 58, he says, but you see, in the day of the visitation, they cried. And he writes there, the visitation equals his coming. In the day of the visitation, they cried, who is he? See, God takes something that seems like it's nothing to make something out of it. That's what makes him God. And when they see him come riding into the gate, some of them said, He is a great man. They say that today. There is schools of theology that teaches today that Jesus was a great man, that he was a good man. Some of them say that he was a prophet. Now, if he was only a prophet or a good man, we are in our sins. He was more than a prophet. He was more than a good man, yet he was a good man, yet he was a God prophet, but he was more than that. He was God manifested in flesh to take away sin. And notice, there our brother William tells us and speaks to us that he, although he was simply a simple construction worker, which that was in the veil of flesh regarding his profession, but regarding to what he was, notice what Brother Branham tells us there. Here, Brother William tells us, within him, he was the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he continues saying, now for the end time, the great part will be God, Jesus Christ, manifested. But the simple part will be the veil of flesh, the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom Jesus Christ in Holy Spirit will be manifesting himself in the fulfillment of the promises pertaining to the last day, to the second coming of Christ as a lion of the tribe of Judah, as King of kings and Lord of lords in his claiming work. And many people get confused when the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned. The scriptures, remember, have multiple fulfillments, and you have to understand when that part of the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ is being spoken about, who it is referring to that moment when it is being spoken, and who it is referring to when one is speaking of the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord, of the second coming of the Lord, as the lion of the tribe of Judah, because it will be the fulfillment of the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ in that veil of flesh working, God manifesting himself in this end time for the fulfillment of the promises that corresponds to our time, and no longer as lamb, but as lion in his claiming work. Our brother William continues saying, now, by what time would that veil of flesh be born, humanly speaking, through a man and a woman? And when will he be born again? The only thing that we can see or think or figure out is how long or how many years that minister will be next year, and how much time that instrument or veil of flesh in which God is fulfilling those promises has spent. That is simpler to figure out, but to know how much time he will have when the 70th week begins, that is like knowing in which year we are going to be transformed and raptured. Therefore, we can see that it is very important to know the progressive way in which God carries out his program and fulfills from stage to stage the things that he has promised. And further on he says, now, the Hebrew people are waiting for the coming of Christ, and Christianity is waiting for the coming of Christ. Will the same thing happen to Christianity as what happened to the Hebrew people in the last day? What if God fulfills that promise as he fulfilled the first coming of Christ in a construction worker? Would Christianity receive it or reject it? The Hebrew people rejected the fulfillment of the first coming of Christ in a construction worker, in a carpenter. They couldn't believe that he was the Messiah. they couldn't believe that he was the fulfillment of the messianic promises. Christianity thinks or says that they were unbelievers by rejecting Jesus, the carpenter of Nazareth, as the Messiah. And what if God does the same thing among the Gentiles and then gives the opportunity to the Hebrew people? The Hebrew people will then say the same thing that Christianity says about the Hebrews, that they were unbelievers for not believing in that carpenter of Nazareth named Jesus, Jesus being the promised Messiah. In the message, The Unveiling of God, on page 21, it tells us, below it says, but since Pentecost, since crucifixion, when that veil was rent from the top to the bottom, for that generation, Jesus was that God veiled, and when he died at Calvary, God sent fire and lightning and ripped that veil from top to bottom, that the whole mercy seat was in plain view. But they were too blind to see it. As Moses said here, or Paul said, reading of Moses, when Moses is read, yet that veil is still on their hearts. Oh, brother, sister, that's what the Jews did when the veil was rent and brought God into plain view, hanging on the cross. He was in plain view, but they couldn't see it. Could it be possible that the Gentiles has did the same thing? Oh, God, when they had the church ages of the Son of God, and he writes below, in the second coming, the Gentiles do the same thing the Jews did in the first coming. But when now the veil of these denominations and things, this veil of tradition that we've got since Pentecost, when the church traditions has been rent, the things that the people said, days of miracles is past and these things, and God has took the veil off of it and brought it in plain view, and they are ready to crucify it again, just exactly like the unveiled God, plain view, they should have seen him standing there. Yet he was too common. He was an ordinary man. They couldn't see it. See, there stood a man. Well, they said, this guy, what school did he come from? But remember, when that spear struck his body, that spirit left him. The temple, the sacrifice block turned over, and the lightning whipped down through the temple and rent the veil. What was it? There was their God hanging on Calvary, and they were too blind to see it. Now notice, it says there, our brother William continues saying, if God fulfills the promises of the last day in the same way through a simple and humble veil of flesh, there will be a very big impact on this earth, for no one has thought of the possibility of God again fulfilling the promise of the coming of Christ in a construction worker. That would cast aside all the theological studies related to the second coming of Christ. That would cast aside all the theology of Christianity in relation to the second coming of Christ, and they would find themselves in a dilemma. they will find themselves in a very difficult situation to put aside the theological ideas and theological interpretations regarding to the second coming of Christ and take the fulfillment of the second coming of Christ, even if it does not agree with the theological interpretations, or to say we stand by our theology regarding to the second coming of Christ and we reject the fulfillment of the second coming of Christ as it is being proclaimed. Either you reject him or you receive him. If you receive him, you will receive the blessings of this end time, which is transformation. If you reject him, you will be rejecting the promises of this end time. As simple as that. And they may say, we are going to stay with our brother William and his message, or with our brother Branham and his message. Those who will stay from Brother Branham's group, because there's a group that will come up and will receive those blessings, and there is also a group that will receive the blessings in this end time. But there is a group that will say, no, we interpret this, he said, and we are going to stay with what he said he was going to do. In other words, they are going to take that message and interpret it in their own way. But when God fulfills what Reverend William Branham foreran and what that mighty angel brought to us, which he was announcing those good tidings of what will be the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord, of the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, then they say, no, it can't be like that. So we are staying with this because that cannot be the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah. And others may say, no, that has already been fulfilled. But look, he says, that's what the Hebrew people did in terms of the religious leaders. That's what the high priest Caiaphas did, the highest leader of the Hebrew religion. In the message, Three Kinds of Believers, on page 17 of the book in Spanish, it tells us, then, secondly, there comes now the unbeliever. Let's speak of the unbeliever next. What does the unbeliever do? We see the believer, what? Accepts the word, every race, every generation. From all the way from Noah, all the way up, we could take 6 months of revival, and he writes, campaign. Right on that, right there, bringing up the characters. They believe. The believer don't question. The believer believes it, regardless of what it sounds like or what anybody else got to say about it, how impossible it seems to be. The believer believes it. And he writes, the believer believes what? The word. Not the creeds, the word. Not the denominations, the word. Not what somebody else says, what the word says. Now remember, that is the believer. The believer does not question. The believer doesn't say, how can it be? If I can get it explained, that's the unbeliever. It's the believer that no matter what it is, if it is the word, it is the word. That's true. That's the believer. Now, the unbelievers. Now we see what will take the unbelievers. We find out that they did all right as long as they get patted on the back and called disciples. Those who like to steal the show and try to sit in front rows and stick their chests out and to be mentioned. That's what they are good for. As long as everything went fine, they were all right. But when this prophet that they believed to be a prophet and known was that could heal the sick and so forth, what did he do? When the real truth and the rebuke came contrary to what they believed, they couldn't take the word. He writes, the unbelievers equals the 70. And below he writes, the unbelievers can't receive the word. Notice, when the rebuke came to them, they could take the miracles and they performed them. I am turning to page 18. They went out and cast out devils, preached the word, and still unbelievers. Matthew 10. He sent them out two by two, the 70, and they cast out devils in so much that Jesus rejoiced and said, I seen Satan falling like light from heaven. See, they cast out devils. Judas right with them. Here comes the unbelievers. But as soon as Jesus began to say that he was something, that he was the resurrection, he was the life, what would you say if you seen the Son of Man ascend up from where he came from? And he writes what Jesus is. Now, this man trying to say he comes from heaven, that's too much for us. We can't believe it. He said, what it is? The flesh that you're talking about profits nothing. It's the spirit that quickens. There you are. The spirit quickens the word. It's the spirit, not the creed. And he writes, quickens. The spirit of the Holy Ghost quickens the word to you and becomes alive. And there you are. You see it. By faith you see it. You know it so, because the word said so, and the Spirit quickens the word to you. There you are. Now, he said, what will, as soon as we did this, we find out that the unbelievers, when you say something that they don't agree with, they walk out to you and I just won't. It seems like we have heard that. I don't have to believe that. You don't have to listen though to those things. Get up. Get up and leave. And many more things. Oh, that's getting so dense in the world today. Start and just say something. They gather in. I noticed at meetings, they'll gather in great crowds, and you stand up and start saying something. Now, as long as they just sat there, just watching, just waiting, then as soon as you say, now Jesus Christ identified himself as Messiah because that he was a prophet, that jog is done full, away it goes. Somebody, and away they go. What it is? Unbelievers. And he writes, the unbelievers leave. There you already identify them. The unbelievers leave. Now you say, you're making that up. I'm not. I'm saying just exactly what the Bible says here. They were unbelievers and they walked out, though they were disciples. Notice, even though they were his disciples, they were unbelievers and they left. The same thing that happened in this time. Or has happened. But it was contrary to what they said. This, who could believe a thing like that? See, they was Pharisees and Sadducees that had come out, joined, and went in with him. See who they were, where they came from. They had joined him. They had also done miracles. See, and when the hour of the trial came, they didn't pass it, because the unbeliever has always been an unbeliever. Because see, when the supernatural is displayed, it produces three different types. It did down in Egypt, and he writes, when the supernatural is manifested, it produces three types of believers. It produced the unbeliever, the believer, and the make-believer. I am turning to page 19. It did all three classes, just wrote down here, till we just go on and on through the night explaining it how it is. Everywhere you find it, you see them three. Always that way, see? You find them. Now watch this 70. They walked out because it didn't agree with what they believed to be right. We haven't got no thought coming. It's what he said. You deny our own thinking. You just say what he says. That's really confession. Confession means to say the same thing. And he writes, deny our own thoughts. If I confess that a certain thing taken place, I say the same thing that taken place. That's what real confession is. And he is the high priest of our confession. See? Saying the same thing God said. See? That makes it right, because you're just repeating God's word. Now, notice, the 70 walked out. What did they do? They went out just because that they disagree. Their wisdom, their church affiliation was too much. That was too much for them to think that this man standing here, that all the rest of the people believed that was illegitimate born. He had no rights to call himself God. And he was just a man, said, we don't stone you for a good work you do, but we stone you because you, being a man, make yourself God. Isn't that the same mockery and that same scorn and all those things that are being spoken nowadays against the instrument that God is using, and God is fulfilling the promises that he said he was going to fulfill in a great tent cathedral? All of that is being seen, and by every possible means of communications, the people of God already identified those groups, those people who are represented at the time in those who did not believe that the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah was in that simple construction worker. We don't stone you for a good work you do, but we stone you because you, being a man, you make yourself God. And the word said he was God. His name shall be called Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Their very scriptures that they read, and the very day that they were singing the psalm, the 22nd psalm, my God, why thou hast forsaken me? All my bones, they stare at me. Not one bone shall be broken. The very song that they were repeating in the temple, there hung the sacrifice screaming the very words that David said 800 years before and was too blind to see it. And today, the very God that spoke of this age is on the scene doing exactly what he said he would do. And they are too blind to see it. That's unbelievers. They walk out and say, oh, I can't believe stuff like that. I never heard of that in my life. Notice exactly what they have said and will continue to say regarding the fulfillment of the coming of God's anointed one in this end time. They will say that and worse things. Because it says, if they did that in the green tree, why won't they do in the dry tree? In other words, do not be surprised at the barbarities and the things those people will do. I'm turning to 20. Don't make any difference what you heard. The Bible said it will be here, and it's his word. They had never heard of that either, but It was there just the same, see? That's right, they were unbelievers, just like Eve was. She was very religious, of course, but she did not believe the true words, and she had to make herself a religion, so she made some fig leaves, see? But it wouldn't work. Religion means covering. Cain did the same thing. Cain couldn't believe that that was right. And he writes, she made her own religion, Eve, the unbeliever. And our brother William continues to say there, what will the highest leader of the Christian religion or of Christianity do? There will be a time when there will be a manifestation where everyone will give their own opinion, as it happened 2,000 years ago. Every person as an individual will make a manifestation with their mouth, will speak, will express, and will say their own opinion of who this is, of who that is. Who do you say that is? But each person will say and will give their opinion of who he is. Now, we see today's subject. The presence of Jesus, the presence of Jesus in his first coming was the fulfillment of the work as Lamb of God. And the presence of Jesus in his second coming is the work as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And remember that it will be parallel in everything. Let's stand up and thus leave in this subject, the presence of Jesus, our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.